Sorry about the impromptu intermission there. You're ready to rejoin us for Mean Girls. Joe Reed from The Wire and Nathaniel R. from The Film Experience. We've been watching Mean Girls. This is part two, the second half of the movie. So if you press pause, you just press play again right now.
Yeah. Everybody in this movie. Oh my god, look at the iMac in the background. The Jelly Bean iMac computer. God, that feels so much more dated than it should be. God love ya. Oh my god, she's so perfect, Amy Poehler. Good lord. She probably wouldn't have gotten a SAG nomination for this. Honestly, I feel like that's almost like a thing we should do is like go back through movies throughout history and just be like, look who wouldn't have gotten a SAG nomination from this movie.
It's horrifying.
It's super horrifying. Again, the t-shirt game in this movie is really, really something with the sayings on it and everything.
Yeah. I should have, for this celebratory week, I really should have like tried to contact the costume designer.
Well, who knew that it was so intricate? Like, oh, and again, look at Katie's necklace now. She's got the C, just like Regina has the R, which I'd never noticed before this particular viewing. See, this podcast is already making me a better Mean Girls fan. This girl, by the way, like
the sales lady is perfect.
The sales lady is A+. You could try Sears. It's so good.
It's sort of like ups the ante on Regina's bitchiness.
Yes, for real. Yeah, this is like Regina intent.
Yeah, I was just about to say.
Yeah.
Like completely unsympathetic.
And Katie trying to explain carbs and water weight is such like perfect bullshit. She's like dazzling Regina with like pseudoscience. Marry me. I love it. Oh my god.
And I love the idea that like 2 pounds is like ruins her hot body.
Why does Janice have a chalkboard in her house for them to keep track of all of their nasty about Regina? What's going on, Janice? Oh my god. Can I tell you how much of like a good school person I was that like seeing a 58 on a school paper literally makes me start to sweat and like get around.
Oh, me
like,
too.
Like a 58.
I was one of those people who got to stand up at graduation as like, you know, being in the top percentiles of the class.
Yeah. I got a B- in a class one time and I literally like was shamed for like the rest of my days. I'm a pusher, Katie.
Oh, right.
What is she, like a drug pusher? Probably. I think that's...
So you mentioned that your high school was really small, and I don't know if you saw the post, but I did a little thing of the map of North Shore High, and I asked people where they would have sat. But people with odd school situations, like really small schools or boarding schools or whatever, they didn't really relate.
Right.
But it was so true of my high school, like which was big. Like, I mean, it wasn't like huge compared to some people's high schools, but it was like about 1,200 people in my high school.
Yeah. We didn't have enough people to make it into like to have categories so much. And I also went to an all boys high school, so that made it completely different too. So my high school experience is not common.
Yeah, because my table would have been like the band geeks. I was not in band, but for whatever reason, I was always with the band.
Yeah, you gravitated towards them.
Yeah.
I love the callback to Damien's shirt here. Like, it's the same design, except it's not pink.
Well, and that Janice Ian's wearing her rubbish shirt again. Because, like, too often in movies, people don't re-wear clothing. Whereas in real life, always.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's such a great touch towards realism.
Because, you know, realism is the main concern of Mean Girls.
But I mean, like, can you imagine if, like, they made a movie completely... First of all, look at the bowl of donuts Gina's eating from A+. And the sister watching Girls Gone Wild. Oh my god. But if they actually made a movie completely realistically about my life, my character would literally wear the same outfit every third scene because like I cycle through such a limited range, especially like this time of year, here's what looks good. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. I feel like this movie just predated the Juicy Couture era. Like, nobody has anything written on the butts of their yoga pants, and, like...
But they would have.
They would have literally, like, 1 year later.
Perhaps Mean Girls inspired them.
Look at how... Okay. Has Amanda Seyfried ever been in a Tim Burton movie? Follow-up to that.
No, but you can see her as instantly. She has
the Tim Burton face, 100%. Yeah. Giant eyes... Slightly, like, far apart.
Yeah.
Gorgeous blonde hair. Like, she basically is Christina Ricci in Sleepy Hollow right now.
But a blonde. Well, I mean, Christina was a blonde in that, but...
That's what I mean, yeah.
Her face shape, yeah, it's very Christina Ricci.
Yeah. And again, look at Regina with a baguette in her hand. Just like... That's my favorite thing about Regina, is, like, you tell her that eating carbs will be good for, like, her body, and she, like, goes whole hog into eating carbs. Like... I almost want to make Regina George with a like gnawing on a baguette my Twitter icon or something like that. Because maybe that's my ideal like state in life, is to be Regina George gnawing on a baguette. Or Regina George with a bowl of donuts in front of her.
Oh, and that line was infinitely quoted. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I said that literally 3 days ago.
I probably said it last night.
I know. Right? Is butter a cup? Also, nice Diet Coke sponsorship, Mean Girls. Like,
and Doritos.
Diet Coke and Doritos are those things that can afford to product place in movies, and it's never going to pull me out because, like,
well, I mean, it is realistic.
Like, yeah, like it would be more. Like it would that. Be less realistic if it was anything but Diet Coke. You know what I mean?
Or if it was one of those generic, we nobody would pay us. So this is just it says soda on it.
Yeah. But this is how dominant culture remains dominant. Is, yeah. Coca-Cola will always
be... I love the little subtle hint of the Calteen bar behind the Doritos.
Ha, yeah. Oh, God, padding on the ass. To make her, like, slightly less incredibly skinny, too. Right. That's the other thing. But I feel like the movie acknowledges that.
Oh, and this is the...
is this
Heather,
Katie's...
Heather Duke becomes Heather yes. Chandler moment.
Yeah. Also, is this the first time that Katie has something written on her tank top in the way that Regina did?
I think so, yeah.
Once again, costume informing character. These are our revelations from our big podcast.
Right. And what is... what? And I like that they're eating...
Oh my God, I don't mean to interrupt you, but you love Ladysmith Black Mambazo is also one of my favorite underrated jokes from this movie. And that is 100% a Tina Fey joke, because I remember that like SNL would do...
This is the scene I was talking about.
Okay.
I'm sorry, it's brilliant.
No, it's so good. Biatch.
Shut up, I love that shirt on you. Like, we say that all the time.
Yeah.
It's so crazy how even, like, random lines from this movie are so quoted.
Yeah. Also, that house, I know, has been in, like, six other movies. Like, you never see that thing where, like, certain movie houses just get, like,
rented
out a lot?
Well, I feel like they get to be friends with the location managers, whoever owns the house.
This outfit is somewhat iconic, yes? With the choker and the pink satin stripe thing. And
I always wonder about how the way, like, certain phrases end up in the vernacular. Like... sometimes you credit them to a movie, but maybe they're not from the movie, and it's hard to know where the genesis of them.
Yeah.
Like, that, I know, right? Which I always think of as being this movie, but maybe people were already saying that.
Right, yeah.
And it was just a touch that, because people say this.
Right. Is that Seth Mozakowski? I'm always very curious.
Yes.
God, and the thing where, like, people show up to the party that you don't even know, and that's the indicator that, like, shit has gotten out of hand. Oh, Homeland guy. So pretty.
I stopped watching that show.
Oh, me too. I had this stark realization that there was nothing it was going to offer for me anymore. Oh, Gretchen. Did she have a shot girl at this party? What's happening? Oh, Katie. You're learning so many harsh lessons about why you don't throw house parties at your own house.
I went to... I don't remember parties in high school as being as crazy as they are in movies.
Yeah, we didn't really have house parties. We had, we would just go out to, like, the woods and shit like that and, like, have keggers.
I think maybe I was just too much of a prude. Maybe I didn't get invited to the right parties.
Right. Well, don't you regret now that you weren't at shit shows like this? I also just love that, like, now all of a sudden Regina has, like, a less cool hair thing happening right here.
Well, and the coat, yeah, like, it looks like she's not even trying to be stylish. Like,
right, exactly.
She's given up because people have turned on her.
Yeah. Oh, Aaron Samuels, you don't even know. God, like, that proto Bieber haircut, too, like, it wasn't quite there in terms of, like, that's the haircut orthodoxy quite yet in 2004, but it was getting there.
I want that photo.
Yeah. How are there already photos, though, of her with the plastics? Like,
Well, one-hour photo places existed back then.
But again, this was, like, the last gasp of actual photos. Like, being able to, like, hold a photograph in your hand. Like, again, a year or two later, it would have been insanely unrealistic. Oh, it's just so clearly, like, bad idea, Lindsay. Bad idea, Katie. Everything happening right here. I would never lie to you. Listening to Lindsay's voice now in this movie, like, it always had a little bit of that, like, husk to it, which is part of the reason why she became, like, so interesting to us. But, like, God, it would just go downhill so quickly in terms of just, like, God, how many cigarettes have you smoked in your life, in your entire young life? This thing where she ends up, like, barfing on him is also a trope, yes? Like, I feel like I've seen that in a bunch of movies. Just don't tell me to shut up.
We're doing a canted camera angle, too, which is always trouble.
Yeah. Well, again, that's how you know something is about to happen. Head in the lap. Bleh. Don't try and run in a tube dress, Lindsay. Bad things are going to happen. Don't. Yeah, Illinois license plates. Everything's supposed to be in Illinois.
I have a curfew. I was such a good kid in high school that I did not even have a curfew.
Oh, wow. Your parents trusted you that much.
My friends were just like, how come you never have to be home? And I was just like, well, I don't know.
I love when Janice just says, you're a mean girl. Like, because A, I love that when movie titles get spoken aloud in movies. But she's so hurt when she says it.
Oh.
Oh my God, Janice Ian, you are my favorite person ever. You are a mean girl. You're a bitch.
Mean Girl is definitely a better title for the movie than You're a Bitch.
Which also may have applied.
Right.
I want my pink shirt back, he's yelling at her. Oh my God. I wonder what previous titles of this movie were.
I imagine Queen Bee was the working title.
Yes. Well, also, okay, so in Spain, it's called Chicas Malas, because of course.
I love that you have web pages up to give us these trivia items.
Listen, I am the pop-up video of the Film Experience podcast. I guess that's about as interesting as it gets. Germany, it's called Girls Club.
Girls Club.
Yeah.
I love that Homeland can't even deal with her freaking. I think this is such a well-edited montage, because at first you don't understand what she's doing, and then it's just such...
diabolical.
Yeah.
So good.
Rachel McAdams is brilliant in this movie.
Brilliant in this movie.
Like, supporting actress nomination brilliant.
Yes, 100%.
Slut. Underlined for emphasis. Yep. Yeah, in this moment where she turns it over, perfect.
Oh, I know.
Because the whole time you think it's going to be Katie.
Yep. See? Even in her anger, she's a smart chick.
And then the crocodile tears.
Yep.
This movie has a lot of Saturday Night Live people in it.
Yeah. Would you like to take a guess as to what Mark Waters' follow-up movie to this was?
I wouldn't have any clue.
Starring Reese Witherspoon and Mark Ruffalo, Just Like Heaven.
Oh, God.
I know.
I saw that in the theaters with Nick, our podcast mate.
Did you really?
Yeah.
God. Oh, I'm so sorry.
And we were, speaking of costuming, we were also obsessed with Reese's outfit in that movie, because Nick kept saying, well, if you're going to die and have to wear the same outfit for the rest of your afterlife, let it be that one.
Yeah, follows up to Mean Girls were Just Like Heaven, The Spiderwick Chronicles, Ghosts of Girlfriends Past, which I saw in the theater, unfortunately, Mr. Popper's Penguins, and then this past year's Vampire Academy, which I had a little bit of hope in, and then I started hearing terrible, terrible things about. So,
but this is actually well directed, so it's
well.
Like,
that's the thing.
Maybe like certain directors just need a good script to work, you know.
Maybe.
To inspire their best instincts.
Yeah, because Waters' career does really lend itself to letting you give Tina Fey more credit to this movie.
Yeah.
But it really is well-directed. You're totally right. Again, Jelly Bean iMac in the background.
I keep missing that.
Watch cuts back to him. Yep.
Yep.
And there's a Northwestern pennant in the back, because colleges advertise in high schools.
I love that Karen laughs at it.
Karen can't help but laugh at it.
I love that Karen is, like, the completely guileless character of everyone in the movie.
Yeah, totally.
And this is what I picked as my best shot when we did Hit Me With Your Best Shot.
Oh, her...
her flinging the...
Flinging the flyers everywhere?
Yeah, it's about to hit.
Well, God, she's just, like, God of Carnage at this point, right? She's just sort of, like, burn this, it all this. Down. Yeah.
I just think it's, like, so perfect.
Yeah.
Speaking of callbacks to jokes,
the inventor of what she said, toaster strudel. Right? Yeah,
that always makes me think of Romy and Michelle for some reason.
Of course, it does. The inventor of Post-its.
Speaking of another quote, that was one time.
But it also reminds me, in real life, somebody's family invented liquid paper, and I never remember who it is. Hold on one second, let me Google that shit.
Will is obsessed with these girls.
Oh, yeah.
The
it's Mike Nesmith of the Monkees, whose mother, I think, invented liquid paper. Yes. Okay. Now I can live without having to obsess about that.
It's a pusher,
a sad old drug pusher. Oh. I love, like, Tina Fey's like, I was nice to you. Ha-ha. Look at that. Like, presiding over her chaos.
Oh, the girl who eats her feelings is just sitting there crying.
I know. That's right. I wonder why the guys are fighting in this. Because the burn book is just other girls, right?
Yeah. That baseball bat.
Yeah.
Like, why would a principal have a baseball bat?
Why indeed? Oh, look at the two girls poorly fighting in the background of that shot.
Oh, yeah, they were almost like playing patty cakes.
Yes! Like, if you're going to get people who are going to fight behind the main character, like, get good ones.
I wonder... Step away from the underage girls. I wonder...
Look at the girl hanging.
I totally forgot about that.
Do fire alarms work that way?
I don't...
Where when you pull them, the sprinklers go off? I don't know.
Like, I've never seen... In my high school, the principal never took his shirt off and walked around in a tank top.
Never took a baseball bat to the fire alarm?
No.
Fair enough.
And I grew up... And I went to school in Detroit, so, you know.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Janice! And I love Damien sneaking into the all-girls assembly with the hoodie up, like, undercover.
Which he totally would.
Which he totally would. Of course he would.
Tim Meadows has been working out.
Tim Meadows is really good in this movie, too, I have to say. He's got such an odd reputation in entertainment.
Yeah.
From, like, just the stayed a billion years at SNL, yeah. Never really broke out kind of thing. But he's such a good bit player in things that he's in.
And I love the suggestion that's never overplayed that he and Tina Fey
yes.
are going to end up being a couple.
Yeah. Well, and this movie comes to the point of doing that thing that teen movies sometimes do where they couple off everybody.
Yeah.
But they don't quite, which is good. Like, Janice and Kevin Napoor, yes, but like... Mm-hmm. It's not like they have to find guys for, like, Karen and Gretchen to end up with at the end. Like, yeah. The movie trusts that, like, they'll be fine.
Well, I hate when movies do that because it almost always means that the gay character is still single.
Yes, yeah.
Because then it just shows the inequality of how people deal with those characters, but...
Did you see the Bring It On musical by any chance?
No.
They pair up people at the end of that, but they do give the gay character... they pair him up with somebody.
Yeah.
Which I'm very happy with.
Well, that happens in the movie, too.
Yeah.
But it always makes me think of that David O. Russell movie, Flirting with Disaster.
Because, in what way?
Well, because, you know, the gay couple in it. You know,
oh,
the,
right.
During the credits, there's these extra scenes where, like, for whatever reason, the credit scenes are all of the couple characters in bed with each other.
Uh-huh.
And the gay couple's not there. And he actually filmed a sequence with them as well.
Yeah.
Which did not make the cut. So it's like this weird thing, like you're seeing all the characters that you got familiar with in the movie except for them.
Yeah.
Because it's sex scenes basically during the credits.
Right, right, right. This again always tends to feel like Tina Fey teaching the girls of America, like, how to be better to each other.
Tina Fey has had an amazing career.
She really has.
There's, like, no way around that it's just plain amazing.
Yeah.
Although I really wish she would write another movie.
I do, too. Like, she needs an Oscar nomination, right? To fully, like, complete her...
Yeah,
I
was mad she didn't get one.
For this?
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't surprised, but... 2004, I have to say, is a hugely underrated year in terms of, like, great movie years.
Uh-huh.
And again, look at the Oscar nominations for Best Picture, and it's like, it almost proves that it's such a great year, because the Oscar nominees were so underwhelming.
Yeah. It's always, the worst Oscar years are always the best cinema years.
But,
it's
like,
such a strange effect.
It's because there were so many movies in, like, off-center genres.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, this was, like, I feel like this was Bourne Supremacy was this year, and, like, Maria Full of Grace was this year, and, like, and I know that got... Yeah, The Incredibles.
Dogville.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Exactly. Even something like Door in the Floor, which I know is not, like, a perfect movie, but, like, it would have been nice if that would have gotten a little bit of attention.
Yeah,
anyway.
Jeff Bridges was brilliant. Now we're way off track.
I know! We're talking over...
Well, this is, like, the lessons learned
Katie's
portion.
Katie's a little... But, like, I like that she doesn't quite learn the lesson. Like, she still is too... Like, she can't quite cop to the bad stuff she did right here. And she's, like, you know, risks the wrath of, or the disappointment, I guess, of the Tina Fey character.
Well, this actually is...
Look at Karen, like, proudly, so proudly raising her hand at who's ever been called a slut.
I always laugh at this part. It's not your fault you're a gap-tooth bitch.
This is one of those scenes that, like, the fact that the movie is a comedy keeps the scene from being entirely good, like, because it's playing as this, like, triumphant, like, everybody coming to terms. But, like, in reality, they're still being really horrible in their apologies to each other.
You're fat because I hate you.
But still, Gretchen's is fantastic. That girl looks like she could be Drew Barrymore's sister, by the way. This
Damien. <She doesn't... laughs> I just have a lot of feelings. Gretchen. So I was going to say, this scene, compared to Heather's, is a really interesting double feature. Because Heather's also has a very similar trajectory about Veronica learning the lessons that Katie learns.
Yeah.
And about, you know, like, let's not be bitches to each other. But yeah. The characters are so much more soulless in Heather's because they are, it's a satire as opposed to, like, a straight comedy.
Yeah.
And it's the differences in tone are really interesting since the movies are so similar.
Yeah, I saw the Heathers musical a couple weeks ago, and so I immediately, of course, came home and watched Heathers the movie. And the dedication that movie has to its own dark heart is something. Like, it's definitely a different movie tonally to this one. Both of them are, like, great in their own ways. Mm-hmm. But God, Heathers just really sticks to its guns.
Yeah, it's pitch black, Heathers.
Yeah.
Like, one of my favorite moments in Heathers is, you know, when at the end when Christian Slater is going to self-immolate, and instead of anything even remotely, like, sympathetic or in any way pulling punches, Veronica just pulls out a cigarette.
And then lights it with the blast? Like, yeah. Amazing.
Lesbian crush on you.
Oh my God.
I love the socks.
Oh, I know.
Oh, and then we have the two queen bees hating on each other.
Yeah, that kind of blew up in your face, Tina Fey. And this is so, I never see it coming.
I know. I probably screamed like a girl in
I probably
the theater.
Did too. And look at Polar, like, on the phone in the background. I wonder who she's talking to.
Tina Fey. Like, this movie
she's talking to Tina. And that's how Regina George died. Just kidding. Some girls say they saw her head go all the way around. It's a great line. Oh, my God. I love that this movie really understands, like, the pain of disappointing authority figures when you're at your heart a good person. Like, that it really, like, gets to her that, like, her parents and, like, Tina Fey
don't
are just,
of her anymore,
disappointed in her and just think the worst of her because of how she's been behaving. This is a nice house. What a
well,
nice
that's what
house
you get when you have a tenured position at Northwestern.
That's true.
That was a shout out to Nick.
I was going to say, yeah. This whole movie's a shout out to Nick with all of these Northwestern references. And I like now that her hair, now that she's like been like knocked down a peg, her hair is back to like more humane.
It's no longer stuff. Full of secrets. It's not used anymore.
It's true. she put some shampoo through it, maybe a little leave-in conditioner. Like, she washed those secrets right out of her hair.
I feel like when we listen back to this, we're going to be frustrated at all the things we didn't talk about, because there's so much to talk about.
Well, that's the thing, is you could sort of watch this through a billion times. That's how you know it's a really good movie. Or that's a movie that like really speaks to you, is that you can just find different things to talk about every single time. I love that top. Oh, my God.
It's so cute.
It's so cute. Oh, marry me, costume designer for Mean Girls. I don't care if you're a man or a woman or straight or gay or anything. Just marry me. Oh, she's so sad.
I could have done without the fart joke.
The fart joke, yeah. Yeah, I feel like that's probably a blanket statement of most movies. Just like I could go without the fart joke. Very true.
And speaking of internal logic, which I love about this movie,
yeah,
all the tables are still the same.
Yes, but the other thing that's interesting is like it's very true in that way of high school where like one person gets scapegoated.
Yeah.
For a thing that like everyone's probably applies to a lot of people. Yeah. And that it's easy to sort of scapegoat her because she's the newer girl and she's the one people thought shoved Regina in front of a bus. Coach Carr is a weirdly pivotal figure in this movie.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, speak your thesis to me, Aaron.
And then the focus very quickly shifts. Again, screensaver background. Old school Windows.
Oh, yeah. It's a period piece.
It is a period
piece. You didn't know it back then.
I know. God.
I think that's actually something that's wonderful about high school movies in general, is it's one of those rare genres that is almost never in period.
Yeah.
So it says a lot about the year it's made.
That's totally true. High school teen comedies as the time capsules of our lives.
Yeah, because if you like, you can trace them. It's amazing. Like, go back to Where the Girls Are from the '60s, and
yeah,
and it just or Where the Boys Are. Sorry,
Regina with the halo break.
I love how nobody lets her off the hook.
I know. It's really something. Okay, her hair's back to being awful. Okay, what's happening, Katie? I love how just like salty she gets, Tina Fey's character gets in this movie.
Uh-huh. What is Aaron Samuels doing that he's watching? Is he
What indeed? Like
sharpening
why is
a
he,
pencil?
Why is he allowed to just
Was that what he was doing? Was sharpening a pencil? I think he was sharpening a pencil.
That's also okay, that is weirdly out of time. Like nobody even in 2004 were sharpening pencils.
You're like, pencils died long ago.
Seriously,
they don't make them anymore.
Everybody, you have to understand. I know, it's Kevin Napora able to just like walk around the classroom floor. Tina Fey's really lost control of that classroom.
I love the pink song.
Very underrated pink song. God is a DJ.
Pink is so amazing.
Yeah, pink's really amazing.
Oh, retainers. Okay. Ah! I love that it's in the mirror. It's so perfect.
God bless.
And that look on her face.
Yeah, that's great. Oh,
I love
I've always
that he has
been
Madonna,
jealous.
Madonna, Mariah, and Celine.
Yeah, and God, but the matching purple tuxes on those two is so good. Do you get obsessed with like seeing movie posters in movies? I have to imagine you do.
Oh yeah, totally.
Yeah. Because that Singing in the Rain poster in Damien's room is, like, super.
Well, cause sometimes it's just great for period stuff to see what people might have had on their walls, but...
Yeah.
But other times it's, like, you can tell the set decorators, like, having fun with, what would this character like?
Exactly.
Like, they're working on a Mike Lee set, and they're like, I'm creating this character.
Yeah. Did you have, like, mathletes or academic decathlon or anything in your high school?
We did, yeah. I just noticed something for the first time here. One of the mathletes from North Shore, their initials are T-Pac.
I know,
it's not Trang Pac.
Maybe she has a brother.
Oh, maybe there was actually a family in my high school that they had something like 9 kids, and all of their first names started with J.
Oh, they were the proto-Kardashians.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's got to be her brother. I'm surprised none of these characters...
So he's probably sitting at the table over, because, you know, in the school map that Janice Ian makes, there's the cool Asians,
Asian
and nerdy
Asians. Yeah.
And the tables are right next to each other.
Yeah. Are they not allowed out when they're grounded? I love that, too, that, like, they also don't understand how this shit works.
Right. Like, who will be the next queen? I love that Damon's sitting by that sign.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, they got their SAG cards for those parts.
Yeah, good for them. Oh my god.
Homeland.
Shane Omen.
I forgot how often he's in this.
Shane Omen's in this movie a lot and has like 2 lines.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had, I think, like, we tried for a quiz bowl thing maybe 1 semester, and then it just sort of, like, didn't have enough interest, so we didn't stick with it.
Mm-hmm.
So my taste for competitive trivia and academics didn't really get satiated until later.
I'm now obsessed with Trang Pac's brother. Like, I never noticed that before.
He's your new side character. I also love how, at this crucial stage of the development, like, Katie has another polo.
Yeah.
Like another polo shirt, except this one is, she's fitting in a way that, like, nourishes her academic side. This is always such a weird epiphany.
Yeah.
That, like, ugly people can have value too. Like,
and yet I'm gonna destroy her dreams by winning.
Yeah, yes. God, I hated Limits. Good Lord. This is another thing that this movie reminds me of, how much, like, I really hated pre-calc so severely.
I don't understand anything about math, and my friends in high school used to make fun of me in my algebra class because they were all, like, in calculus.
Uh-huh.
And, like, even the way I would pronounce things like polynomials, they would, like, all laugh because they were all, you know, brains.
Oh.
And so this...
See, even the brains could be mean girls.
Yeah, so... So like this whole like thing, I was like, oh, like I relate to it because I was friends with all the smart kids, but I just never had understood it. So to me, it's such a foreign concept, this limits thing. The limit does not exist, that it reminds me of Burlesque's Air Rights plotline.
Yeah. I love it. Just like, if I don't understand it, it's as non-existent as Air Rights. Like,
right.
Perfect. Kevin.
Get some.
Oh. I have to feel like, for somebody like Kevin G, the decision between going to prom, or homecoming, or whatever that dance is, and going to Mathletes Championship must have really, like, kind of torn him up inside.
Yeah.
Because he ends up at prom anyway.
Yeah.
But, like, he doesn't seem to be going through, like, internal turmoil. Like,
well, because they know they're headed there now.
I guess, yeah. With their medals, which is awesome. See, and the brother's even going. Like, that's great. Good for him. Maybe he's gay. Maybe he ends up with Damien. Oh my god, let's total fanfic. Let's
completely
fanfic this guy. Oh, they would have great double dates, because he and Kevin G have Mathletes in common, and Janice and Damien are, you know, besties. Oh my god, this is Mean Girls 2. This is what Mean Girls 2 should have been. I'm so happy we did this. Oh, Spring Fling. It's not prom or homecoming.
He's like Ryan... He looks a little bit like Ryan Phillippe in this movie. Only like a bulkier kind.
Yeah. I almost feel like you just committed sacrilege by comparing anybody to Ryan Phillippe in that era of his life. Because there was nobody who compared to early 2000s Ryan Phillippe.
Well, excuse me.
Sorry. Sorry, but it's true.
Yeah, I love the perpetual confusion of her parents. And you're so right. They're as lost as she is about this world.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I love how annoyed Tim Meadows gets when he keeps being like, there doesn't really have to be a speech here.
Right.
Which is such a Tina Fey thing, like commenting on the weird tropes of movies.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that Karen is not part of this curtain call sort of blocking here.
She is.
But she's in the audience, whereas like the other main characters are on the stage.
Well, she wasn't nominated. There were only so many nominations to go around. But she gets a piece of the crown, right?
Probably, yeah.
How horrible would you feel if you were one of the girls who didn't get a piece of the crown? Because there's only so much actual physical plastic to go around.
That's right.
I love the intention of this. But there still is that thing of just, like, picking out the fat girl and being like, your hair is really pretty. Like, there's that air of condescension. It's like, yeah, you're still fucking Lindsay Lohan, so stop it. But it is a nice sentiment. I love that Gretchen Wiener's, first of all, I love that she gets it first. But the Regina George catches this with her, like, brace on her head.
Oh, yeah, that's awesome.
Impressive to me.
How many times do you think they filmed this?
Oh my god, probably a lot. I always think of that. In terms of like, or like when they're like, it's a sports movie and somebody just like makes a shot. Like, yeah. How many times do you have to film that?
Oh, their daughter's back.
Yeah. I wonder if they dance to anything good at this point.
Oh, I forgot to point out, one of Nick's friends, who is also a reader of the film Experience, is in that mathlete scene.
Oh, really?
In the auditorium.
Nice.
Like, watching the mathletes perform.
Do you think the purple on Damien and Janice is also a tribute to Northwestern? Maybe it is.
I think it's a tribute to the gays who Tina Fey knew would love this movie.
Well, I love that she names Damien in this movie after Damien Holbrook, the guy who writes for TV Guide.
Oh, I didn't know.
He's like one of her like real life friends.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah. She said that in her book. What is her book called again? I can't remember.
Oh,
Bossy Pants.
Oh, yeah.
Bossy Pants. Yeah. I don't know if I like this, like, ends up with Aaron Samuels thing.
Mm-hmm.
I guess they don't really, like, lean on it too bad.
Well, don't they get a weird kiss person, right here, though?
I'm that weird person who, like, doesn't want anybody to end up with the people they're interested in movies like this. Because I feel just like, no, be good with yourself. You have to be comfortable in
your own. Well, that's what was so upsetting about the Sex and the City finale, where they had to pair everyone off.
Yes, exactly.
And also, like, if you don't pair people off, you can still write fan fiction pairing them off.
Yes, exactly. Like, give us a little bit more leeway to, like, this is so funny to me. Because it, like, it knows how terribly infuriating that would be if, like, you put that button on their characters.
I love that Kevin G's right there to swoop in. You know, yep. He was watching, waiting for his moment.
Yeah. Oh, Lizzie Kaplan, I love you so much. Yeah, I'm really bummed Damien didn't end up with anybody. But again, just off screen, he and the brother character are. Yeah. What's his first name? Like, maybe it's just like Tony. Maybe, like, he's the really Americanized brother. Like, when the parents were just like, no, we're just going to name him Tony.
And I love that she becomes a jock.
This is super. Yeah. Yeah, that's a super ending. Karen.
She's so, I love that so it's proud of herself.
That it's a 30% chance that it's already raining.
Oh, I love that finale too.
Yeah, it really, it does a good job with all of these, actually. It is a nice ending. This sort of like blending of all the social groups.
Yeah. Yeah, this it totally ties into what I'm saying about it's such a different experience than Heather's in tone. But it works.
And this led to 21 Jump Street, where all the teens are progressive and this bit. Love it! Love it. But I love that sort of nod to, like...
Just kidding.
Well, and just sort of, like, high school goes on and there's only so much, like, change in the world.
Yeah. It's such an institution in all of its ways.
Yeah. Oh, good job, Mean Girls.
Yeah. Really good job.
10 years, God, we're all so incredibly old.
Oh, no, farting guy, Jeff Moser. Oh, and Michigan Girl.
Oh,
I'm
my God.
Michigan.
God, Shane Omen is really down the cast list. Short Girl.
Animal Dancers. I love reading credits.
I do too, right?
Kissing Girls. I don't remember that.
Oh, Junior Plastics. I'm surprised none of those girls ever became anything. Lots of stunt people from that... from that giant battle scene.
Yeah.
All right, let's find our costume designer and shout them out.
Visual editing, Dana Glauberman edited Up in the Air.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I remember the name because I thought she deserved a nomination. Didn't get one, which was weird.
That's a bummer.
Chief rigging. My friends used to be so annoyed with me in college that I would always make them stay to the end of credits.
Yeah. Oh, and these were the days before there was any expectation of scenes at the end of credits.
Well, yeah, and also, I mean, it wasn't totally pre-IMDb, but people weren't used to the idea that you could go look up anything after, and I always wanted to know.
Yeah.
Like, who did what?
Yeah. I love that the casting in different areas of the country have different people. Like, that makes sense. Costume supervisor Lindsay Jacobs.
There's a lot of costume people, though.
Yeah, well, good. Like, they all deserve it. Yeah, this was a really, really fantastic movie and a very, very revisitable one, yeah. I feel like. And it's fun to look at sort of all of these actresses, because I know, shocker, we pay attention to actresses.
Yeah.
But it's a great one for, like, your brand in that way, where it's just, like, it's so many actresses to look at.
Oh, and here's
Pass That Dutch, that's the Missy Elliott song you're talking about. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hey, 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 I'm What's Happening. Yeah, you're right. Totally a lot of different eras in the music.
Pharrell Williams wrote Milkshake, co-wrote Milkshake with Chet Hugo from, That's solid. The Mathlete Rap, lyric by Tina Fey.
Jingle Bell Rock, performed by Lindsay Lohan.
Yeah. Oh my God.
I admit that I did not buy her album, but I listened to it a lot.
Lindsay's?
When it came out. Yeah.
I will every once in a while go on Spotify and queue up Rumors and maybe listen to Rumors a little bit.
Oh, Singing in the Rain gets the last credit.
That's true. See, it's almost like it knew that 10 years down the line that you would be doing a podcast.
You would mention it in the podcast.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Thank you, Paramount Pictures, for supporting this movie.
Yeah. This was super fun. We should do this occasionally.
We should, with important films that everybody knows so they don't actually have to have the sound on.
Yeah.
That's it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Bye.
Bye.